A few weeks ago, I was listening to a podcast called Fresh Air, and I heard the story about this woman in Chicago named Lisa Daniels, and she lost her son when he was shot to death. And I remember the details of this podcast, even though I heard it, you know, almost a month ago, because it's such an amazing story of forgiveness. Lisa Daniels is a single mom, and she had a good job working in one of the museums in Chicago. And she was raising two boys, and one was a model student, went to engineering school, and the other, for all the things she tried, she couldn't prevent this one from going down the wrong path. Started hanging out with a bad crowd. He started missing school, got involved in some crime, and later doing drugs. And then he began to sell drugs as well. And one night, he went with his friend to a drug deal. And there he was shot by another young man. And the police were unsure as to exactly how everything went down. Everyone was carrying a gun to this deal, and it seems like each side was going to rob the other, as this was planning on robbing the other. But this woman's son, Darren, was killed, and the 18-year-old boy who shot him was arrested and charged with the murder. And months later, this young boy decided to plead guilty to the crime, and at the sentencing hearing, Lisa, the mother of the victim, was allowed to read what's called a victim impact statement. And these are usually opportunities for crime victims to describe the impact it has had on their life in order to better assess how the sentence should be handed down on the perpetrator. Well, this woman, and this is why I remember the story, talked about the impact that this culture of drugs and guns has had on her son, and how she lost her son to that those were the things that ended up killing her son, and that the young man who pled guilty was the conduit. And she talked about how she could easily imagine herself switching places and being in that very same courtroom, because it was her son who was accused of the murder of the young man who stood before them that day. She asked for mercy on him because she knew she would be pleading for mercy at her own, if her own son were in that situation. And the podcast went on to talk about, in the ensuing years, this woman Lisa ended up befriending her son's killer. She ended up switching careers and ended up working on the parole board in Illinois. And she works to help rehabilitate young people who she sees as being just like her own son. And I'm always in awe when I hear stories like that, stories of forgiveness and mercy that go beyond anything I can imagine myself capable of. Stories that to me are examples of God's divine mercy at work. And I cannot think that anyone is capable of that kind of forgiveness and mercy without having a deep, abiding faith. Maybe some people are capable of it on their own. I don't know, but whenever I hear stories like this, it's usually someone with a strong faith who's able to forgive like that. And while in this podcast, that wasn't the point, they weren't going into the details of this woman's faith life, they did talk on a number of occasions of her asking for prayers, not only for her son, for herself, but prayers for the murderer, prayers for the murderer's mother, who was probably going through the same thing she was. So she did have a faith that played a big part in her life. So I presume it played a big part in her being able to show that kind of mercy. Today we mark Divine Mercy Sunday, when we recall the incredible mercy Jesus has shown us and continues to show us even now. And in the gospel today, Jesus appears in his glorified body and shows his disciples his hands and his side. He shows them the wounds that he bore, the pain that he suffered for their sins, the suffering he underwent for our sins. God's Son became one of us, human in all things but sin, Scripture says. And he died because when he stripped himself of his glory and became human, he submitted himself to the whims and the vagaries of human beings. He submitted himself to the jealousy of people in power, to the evil that can make its way into the human heart. And he was innocent, but he suffers and dies because of our sinful nature. However, because Jesus was also God, he could have stopped this at any time, or at least he could have asked God the Father to stop it. In fact, in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before, he does. He asks, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, but not my will be done, but yours." But on the cross, in the midst of his pain, in the midst of all the suffering he was undergoing, he also asks, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus is asking for mercy for those who put him to death, for those whose sinfulness led to this, for those who denied him and ran away. He's asking for mercy for all of us. And he starts asking for it while he's on the cross, paying the price for us, for our sinful nature. This woman, Lisa, in Chicago, she was not asking that justice be denied her son. She knew that the young man who shot her son deserved to go to jail. She was asking for mercy precisely because he deserved to go to jail. Otherwise, it would not be mercy. And she later befriends the young man and works to help him and others like him, turn their life around. That, to me, is divine mercy. Jesus asked forgiveness for us and was willing to pay the price for us. And today, what we hear in the gospel today of him coming into the room to those who had run away, to those who had denied even knowing him, those who were not willing to stand by him, Jesus begins by saying, "Peace be with you," and showing them his wounds. He is forgiving them at that moment. And he's restoring the friendship that was broken. The friendship that was broken and the sinfulness that led to those wounds. He's saying, "Receive the Holy Spirit," and telling them to forgive sins just as he did. That means he's asking us to show the same mercy that he shows us. And he means that he knows that humanly, in human terms, it is almost impossible to do that. But with the Holy Spirit, we can show divine mercy. We can be like Lisa in Chicago. We can be a channel of divine mercy that Jesus has for each and every one of us. I pray that none of us have to suffer as much as Lisa did in order to show it. But I pray that all of us can recognize just how much mercy has been shown us, just how much those wounds that Jesus bears were for us, and that we can be channels of God's mercy for others as well. When I was listening to that podcast, I was reminded of a similar story that I read a number of years ago about a single mom in New York. I don't know what it is that it's always single moms, it seems to me, and it's, I don't know, maybe it's because they have to be heroic nearly every day, but This single mom in New York, and I can't, unfortunately, I couldn't track down where I read it, or so I don't have all the details of her name or anything, but this mom lost three of her sons to gang violence. And the youngest of her sons was shot dead right on her doorstep. There were bullet holes still in the doorframe. And she said this left this incredible wound in her heart. And at first she wished that her sons had never been born so she wouldn't have to deal with the pain of losing all three of her sons. But then she began to work for an end to gang violence. She began to speak in schools and community centers about the accessibility of guns and drugs. And she talked about the community taking responsibility for all that goes on in it. And she said that later on, she was able to thank God for her sons and thank God for her deeply wounded heart. She wouldn't be able to do the things she does without sharing that wounded heart, without being vulnerable with people. That's what allows her to be an effective advocate for ending the violence that took her boys. And the bullet holes are still in the doorframe of her home. And someone asked her why she hadn't fixed it, and she said she needed them to be a constant reminder to her of what her son suffered, what she had to endure. And she said, when you fix things, you tend to forget. When you fix things, you tend to forget. Jesus, in his glorified body, still bears the wounds he suffered for us. Maybe he bears them to remind us of the love he has for us. And Jesus isn't afraid to show his wounds. In fact, they become the means for his disciples to recognize him. Without his wounds, Thomas would never have been able to recognize Jesus, would never have been able to say, my Lord and my God. This woman in New York, this woman in Chicago, they didn't hide their wounds. They aren't ashamed of them. In fact, those wounds become the means for people to recognize God's divine mercy at work through them. All of us are wounded in some way. All of us have been hurt. Can we show our wound? Are we ashamed of them? Can we allow those wounds to be the means of God's mercy to flow through us? This week, I just read about Jean Vanier, who had just entered palliative care in France. This is nearing the end of his life. And if you've never heard of Jean Vanier, he is a Canadian who I believe one day will be declared a saint. Jean Vanier is an advocate for the mentally disabled, and he's the founder of L'Arche communities around the world. There are, I think, three of them here in Montreal. L'Arche communities are homes for mentally disabled people. And Jean Vanier is also a prolific author. And one of the recurring themes that he writes about is recognizing our own woundedness. He talks about how much we can learn from disabled people who cannot hide their wounds, and how these people become signs of courage and hope for us. He says in their woundedness, there is something almost sacred there. It becomes an image of the wounded Christ for us. And if we can learn from them, and we can be willing to be more vulnerable, be willing to share our own woundedness with one another, we too can become signs of courage and hope to others. We too can become heroic. We too can become images of Christ. Like the disciples in the gospel today, I believe we need the Holy Spirit to do that. I don't think we can be channels of mercy, of forgiveness. I don't think we can be signs of hope and courage without God's Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that Jesus pours out on his disciples. And so right now, I just want to take a moment to pray for that Holy Spirit, to pray for that courage. Lord Jesus, when you came into that room, the first thing you said to your disciples is, "Peace be with you. Send your peace upon us, Lord. Send your peace upon your disciples gathered here. Send your Holy Spirit upon us. Help us to recognize our own woundedness and to be willing to share that with others. Help us to know just how much love and mercy you have shown us. And help us to truly be a channel of that mercy for the people around us. Send your Holy Spirit to give us the courage and the strength to be weak, in front of one another. Help us to trust in your mercy and in your love. We pray this through Jesus Christ, our Lord.